Okay, we got an hour and a half by about, and I'm always for more interaction, so we're going to run a sort of what I call big brainstorm. So we're going to split up anyway. By the way, for people entering also later, everyone can come in because the focus is on the brainstorm later on. I will start with a sort of trend talk where I try to make you a futurologist, futurist, trend watcher, whatever you want to call it. So you only have to listen to me once, and then you can integrate it in your daily business, I hope. And we're also going to use the new technology, of course. If you want to go to Twitter, this is my Twitter account, Richard Lamb Live. You know the Emacs 10 hashtag that we're using. And I'd like to invite you to use the spot time as well, of course. Maybe you have spot times as well. I'll start with you, with the young generation. Maybe you can... Sorry. Okay, half of the room is leaving now. Maybe you know how it works. Maybe you can try to, for all of you, try to, do a sort of digital hug by exchanging business cards as an experiment. You know how it works? Just pass it on and explain it to the guys or girls who don't know how it actually does work. Because we've seen already, for instance, this morning, how interesting it could be, the swarm gaming stuff, and some of you love to do this for the entire morning, but we're not going to do this right here. What I'd like to do is, I got three goals. How can you develop a future perspective? We could develop a sort of common future perspective, but it would be more interesting for you to develop your own or your organizational future perspective, of course, and that's what we're going to do. I give you five trends, but we're going to look for more trends by you. And of course, I'm going to give you a picture, the big picture. How does the world affect the meetings and events world, actually? So I'll kick off, then it's up to you, and we'll see how it works. Because it's quite difficult to sort of predict the future. As you can see here, we're definitely expecting some kind of tsunami somewhere around here, sometime in the future. But don't hold us on that. And that's, sort of describing my job and your job in the future, partially. So when I say you are the real expert, but in the meantime, I have become sort of expert as well, of course, by being involved in so many events and meetings and seeing it from the speaker's or moderator perspective. So maybe we can exchange some experiences. And the extra problem for you is that you got an organization back home that's running, and you're looking for operational excellence, and you never have a sort of green field situation. And in the meantime, you have to develop a future perspective as well for longer term, but specifically a sort of business case for the years to come. So here's my tool. I hope it's not too annoying. It's just a couple of slides, but it's a framework for you. And maybe I could ask to spread this as a reminder. The rest is online. Maybe you could spread this out. We'll work all together today. This is called the to-do brainstorm model, and I'll explain it short to you. Today we're going to focus on the trends, opportunities, and deliverables will be combined, but I'll explain it later to you. Inspiration, creation, outside in. Outside in is always good these times, so I thought, in my model there should be something like outside in. Now listen, here's trends. What is happening outside? What is outside? Outside your individual or outside your organization or outside your country or outside your industry, whatever. That's the definition that you make when you start. And this level is for the inspiration. What is actually happening and how is the organization or the meeting and events industry influenced by its environment? When we find these, and we will do that during the big brainstorm for about 10 minutes, you go to the flipovers and give all your trends that you do see, trends, developments, hypes, whatever, and then we'll come back, compare the results, and hopefully there will be a sort of top 3, top 5, or maybe a top 10 of trends that we can discover. And then we'll do it again, translating the trends into opportunities. And you can define an opportunity like a graying society. We should do something with that fact. It's vague, but it could work. It would even be better if we say, hey, deliverables on an innovative level, products, services, processes, should be even more interesting, of course. Then we can really bring it back to the event, the meeting, the preparation of an event, or follow up or whatsoever. This area is not that important today. It's more up to you, like how much budget do we have for new concepts, how fast do we want to go to the market, and so on. So that's more the operational side of the to-do model. You can read an entire description on the website, by the way, if you like to, but I'll tell you enough today to work with it and to experience it, and maybe you want to use it within your company, you're free to do so. A lot of companies are using it already. Well, as you can see, Alvin Toffler, futurologist, started in the 70s with his wife, Heidi, by the way. Future always arrives too fast and in the wrong order. Well, actually, that is the problem with the future. You always know that something is about to happen, but not in which order and actually when. But as long as you do know that certain things will happen, you can prepare. You can sort of risk control it. Okay, let's make you ready for the future. This is about the 70s, I think. You can remember maybe the sound if you've played this game before. But we're going to go into the future. And first of all, I'm going to give you the big picture. And, of course, what you heard yesterday morning from James, evening, by James, we got a crisis, of course. We got not just one, we got a financial crisis, a climate crisis, food crisis, energy crisis, and several other things like the greying society, generation management, diversity, and it's all like arrows influencing the meeting and events industry. So how could we deal with it? And the financial crisis is coming down as an economic crisis. And the interesting thing is, how do we react on it? Americans are very practical and pragmatic and say, okay, what will be after the crisis? And they're just, well, sort of not denying it, but they're looking forward. How will it be? How will our organization be after the economic downturn? Europeans, some of them are waiting, actually waiting. Well, it'll fly over. We'll see. It's not that heavy. And it took up for months and months before most organizations realized, hey, we really got to change our processes, our cost level, or whatever, new clients, new areas for our business, or whatsoever. Well, there's the climate crisis with a lot of distortion and scientific reports. Are the numbers right? Are the numbers wrong? Doesn't matter for you as a new trend watcher. The only thing which is important that the climate is a topic. So if you want to do something with it, go for sustainability and so on. So you don't have to agree with things which are in the news, but you only have to observe it. And it doesn't matter actually for us whether the Earth is warming up or going to a new ice period or whatever. It's a topic, so you can work with it if you want to. The food crisis, also compared with genetic food. Energy crisis, pictures of old times. In the 70s, they made the same kind of pictures. This is what the white piece is what under the poles. More attention for alternative energy. And what you see in the U.S., it's interesting because there is a strong influence from industries. Like we had the defense industry in the Cold War. And now there's a new industry surrounded by the climate crisis. It's huge business, the climate. And the energy, of course, as well. And the nuclear, that's dangerous, is now branded as new clear. The new clear energy. Sounds crazy, maybe. But they're pushing it so hard that a lot of people are going to believe, okay, the best alternative on the long term will be the new clear energy. And the new clear energy could be sun energy, but could also be H2O energy. The nuclear old energy is what we will see. Sure. And as what you will see as well is that everything what was centralized will be decentralized on multi-levels. For energy, for the networking, as you can see, like the LinkedIn networks, the Twitter, the Facebooks, and so on. So maybe in events and meetings there will be something like that as well. Not all centralized events, like we're coming to Malaga as well for all of us and have a great time, but maybe there will be sort of concept for satellite events or whatsoever, or extreme, just stay at home or on your office and you have the online version of a meeting or event. So everything is changing. Well, we have to change as well, of course, but maybe a bit faster than the environment. Should be interesting. This is Dutch Prime Minister, and as you can see, this is not photoshopped or whatsoever. He's reading comic strips. And in fact, his political party put an ad into this magazine. Who of you is reading strips like these? Paparino, Donald Duck, whatever. Be honest. More creative people are reading comic strips, so maybe I can encourage just one or two, but okay. Three? Okay, that's better. Maybe you can turn it around. Just start reading these. These strips are quite interesting because they give a sort of image of the world at this very moment. And like a couple of years ago, the internet came into the stories, for instance, or a virus, computer virus. But of course, in comic strips, these computer viruses come alive. So it's interesting to see how the world is seen by people who make these comic strips. What we're doing, actually, is looking for trends. Trends is just changes. Changes that might result in different behavior. Who's different behavior? Well, your customer, your employee, maybe your partner at home or whatsoever. Then it's an important trend. A lot of things will happen around the world, but if it doesn't influence you or the life of your employees or whoever, who cares? You just got to take notice of it, and that's about it. Here's an example. Having breakfast. Don't know how you did it this morning in the hotel, but honestly, I was using my G1 telephone, checking email, being on Twitter, saying good morning to the attendees of EMAC, using the SpotMe, of course, and also eating something. So if you look for a trend like that and you say, hey, what kind of opportunity could be in a trend like that, like we're hungry for food and hungry for information, apparently, in the morning. Well, here's a combination that students made. It's a toaster, as you can see, a toaster with an internet connection. Yeah, you put in your slice of bread in the morning, it checks out your zip location, and it says, hey, the weather at your place will be shiny or cloudy. So that is information sharing on a complete new level. So you could use it. Not use the toaster. The toaster is for your mindset. And you translate it to your event or your meeting. And maybe, well, you actually want to have toasters like this or other apparatus. So look for technology as an enabler for new situations, new processes. Or maybe you're not looking on a functional level, but more on a design level. Why shouldn't a toaster look like this, for instance? Why should your event not be look completely different than you're used to? I know there are certain companies here providing tools and instruments sort of build your conference or your meeting or event to look like completely different, as we can see here in this room itself. Okay, this is the trick for the futurologist, is what you're going to be. So the rest of the talk you can forget. This is important. What is the concept of trend watching? It's just two steps. And I compared it with a book. In history, we had these handwritten books, copied by the monks, writing it all down. And in fact, what is a book? Well, what you do as a trend watcher is getting all inputs from the media here at the conference, from your colleagues, back home, whatever. And there's a sort of cloud in your head. And usually, you don't give this cloud a name. You got a feel in your stomach, sort of gut feeling. You say, hey, with our organization, we've got to go that way, or we've got to take that topic for a conference or whatever, and that's about it. Well, as a futurologist, you give this cloud a name. And this first step is very simple. You give it a name which is as vague as possible. Sounds strange, maybe, but I'll see that it'll work. So you sort of lift this cloud to a higher level. You say, okay, what is a book actually? Well, a book is what sort of information sharing. And compared with looking for trends, you say, hey, I see an interactive society. That's a trend. I call it a trend. Oh, okay, it's your trend. Or I see twinning, like birds of a feather look for each other. Okay, if it's your trend, it's up to you. But then there's step number two, and we're going to translate it to your organization in 2015, for instance, or 2012, or whatever. You say, okay, if there is an interactive society, what does it mean for a meeting and events? What level of interaction could you use? Is it a voting device or the SpotMe device or something completely different? Then you want to do the swarm game, whatever. Or is it more interaction where the real life and the virtual world is combined with each other? Like the back channel, the Twitter back channel during this conference. We are here in real life, but a lot of information and impressions and comments are shared with the hashtag iMac10. Maybe as we speak about this talk, by the way. So the first step is lift your impressions, your trends, your hypes to a higher level, give it a name, and then translate it back to your organization, and you find out, well, this interactive society does affect our organization. Next steps will be, that's in the model, the opportunities, what are we going to do with it? But that's for later. First, determine what kind of influences are working on your organization, on your services that you do provide, and there are several outcomes. Like you want to start up a new organization in the U.S. or in Eastern Europe or whatever. You can imagine that there are different trends per region, per situation, per annual. So we're in this trends area, which is outside, and we're trying to get to be inspired. Well, here's an example of the interactive society. We started here, and we're now on that level. What does actually change in our behavior? Therefore, I look because I want to know, does it influence my daily life? Yeah, it does, because when I send out a letter in the past, I put it away, took a couple of days before I got an answer, or maybe I never got an answer. And nowadays, I send an email or a tweet or put something on Facebook or whatever, and instantly I get a reaction. And I got a reply again. So it's restless, it's crazy, and it's a roller coaster. And sometimes you choose for that, and sometimes you say, hey, I want to slow down. And every one of us does have a sort of different communication profile in this interactive society. I'm not going to discuss all the trends here because they're generic. And you can look them up on the site as well. But the most important one is time on demand. We, as a consumer, as an end user, want to control our time. Like during this conference, we don't have to subscribe. I go to this workshop and then tomorrow to that one and I can't change it anymore. No, we want flexibility. It's up to you, and if you want to leave halfway, no problem, just go in and out. That's an example of time on demand. We want to be in control. Your customers want to be in control, so you have to provide service, being a butler. Safety web doesn't have anything to do with the internet. It's more like everyone is looking somehow for a safe environment, a comfort zone. And it sounds silly when you remind Peter Fisk's story from yesterday and from this morning, the jockey. All the time, we're looking for a comfort zone, your customers as well. So it's got to be recognizable, your event or meeting, but refreshing as well. So there's tension, of course, but it could work out. Well, time for sale, like sharing services and so on, is less important. As you can see, the last one here, pool economy, and number 9, experience industry, is for me less important because it's so normal that it's, well, included in everything. But when you talk with the retailer, for instance, he doesn't love the pool economy because it's difficult for him to have products in store that he can't sell because of this pool economy. I'll give you another set of trends, originally made by Andy Hines, just a global view, but you can look it back in the presentation itself, in 5 groups. And these are global trends, and later on I'll give you 5 trends specifically for meeting and events, and then we're going to fill them with you as well. Well, of course, there's an aging population in the Western-oriented countries at this moment. We're growing rapidly from 2015. It really grows fast. So you have to take care with that, with your meeting events, choosing locations, the speed of your program, whatever. Changing families, not just father, mother, and a couple of girls. Not all different types. So how can you deal with that? Maybe it could be interesting to invite complete families for your convention, have separate programs and so on. More migration, the growth of population, of course, and urbanization. People are coming into urbanization, which could be interesting for you by organizing these physical events and meetings. Well, there is a deep rising wealth trend, of course, because of Asia, consumerism, materialism, but also on a spiritual level, you'll see that later on, middle class growth, time pressure, the rat race, and a sort of personal outsourcing. I'll show you. And here's an interesting one. It's a sort of combination. There's a cultural multipolarity combined with the media spread gives you a cultural flow. So it's really melting altogether at this moment, so it becomes more difficult to target. And diversity is the word at this moment, of course. Infrastructure that can be connected to what I just said about decentralization. Well, electrification is no problem for us in Western-oriented countries, but some countries still are. The networked world, like the fiber, is coming to the houses. And a rising mobility. Rising mobility, especially in our leisure time. Not for work. Preferably less for work and more in leisure time. But we still want to be connected, want to be informed, want to be trained on the spot, whatever. So think broad when thinking about a meeting and events. And of course, in the area of values, ethical consumption. Be aware what you're actually eating or buying. Women's power, social freedom, and transparency. And transparency is the most difficult one, of course. Because we are sort of forced to open up our organizations and show that we're ready for the world, which is changing. Most companies don't want to open up. They're afraid for this transparency. Transparency makes you work twice as hard as you did. Like, for instance, an insurance company. Usually, you got damage or whatever. Send it in. Was on the pile for weeks. And then someone took a look at it. And nowadays, you look on the web. You can track and trace whether it is handled, what the status is at this moment, and so on. So that is actually transparency. And that's what we expect in the area of meetings and events as well. And as I mentioned, diversity, but as you take a careful look here, diversity is not as usual for everyone still, because I do miss the women downstairs. Yeah, this is a Israeli newspaper, and as you can see, is there a laser pointer here? Don't know. This lady has been disappeared, and this guy from the right here has been sort of photoshopped over, and they're the same case for her. That is 2010. So diversity is not completely normal for everyone, I'm afraid. But the good news is, after the business babes and the burnout babes, there will be, well, I call it the balance babes, who do have their life completely under control, are balanced, in the directions of the man of this world, by the way. You could take a look there if you'd like to. And that's, well, the girl power from the past is now on a mature level. These are the new decision makers. And there's the new generation, of course. Early consumers influencing their parents, their grandparents. They're not buying themselves. Well, sometimes they do over the internet. And they got different needs. And they expect, hey, the network is out there. Why would I do my homework myself? Why can't I outsource my homework? And they're right. Why not? Because you need knowledge back there as well. And we're in a do-it-yourself economy. And this do-it-yourself economy does have a great influence, I think, on the meeting and events sector. I'll give you an example later. And the need for, well, artificial solutions for animals, about everything. People want to sort of control the environment and looking for artificial solutions. I also brought you a mechanical version of We'll Meet Again, well, as you know, by Dame Vera Lynn. It's sort of, well, it's a representation, I'll play it later for you, of a mechanical, well, sort of mini event. This is the experience industry, of course. How faced is the experience in your meetings and your events? Well, as you can see, this is the behavior of different lifestyles and life categories. Typically information that you could look up later. What are we interested in? Your consumers, your end users? Well, leisure, friends, family, health, and less work. Hey, so if we want to reach them in a professional way, we have to seek for a combination. Work balance, work-life balance combination, for instance. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not always materialism what we're looking for. It could also be enrichment, luxury by way of time, or being inspired, or whatsoever. So take care of that if you're preparing something. And then there is this fractional life. We don't want to own things. We want to reach and experience things. Well, there's the event business. That's good. We can make them experience a lot of things. And of course, combined with the virtual world. As you can see, this was from 2006 to 2012, rising from 30 to 60% as an average, that people would buy at least one thing on the web, one expensive thing, like $2,000, for instance. So that's important, like booking a conference, for instance, or getting an insurance, or a holiday, or whatever, buying a car even. And not on computers, more and more on the mobile device. And the question could be, what kind of open device could you use? Do we use a SpotMe device? Or do we want to have the same function on our cellular phone that we're using? The interesting thing, what happened yesterday evening, is that no one asked a question to the very good keynote speakers. Well, this could mean that we are overwhelmed by what they told, or scared, or whatever. But in the meantime, on Twitter, there were a lot of messages going around. Twitter is a more open system, so maybe there was a difference. It could have been Facebook as well, by the way. And it doesn't matter for you whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, or whatever. That's more the low level. It's more like, how are people communicating with themselves? How are they using these social media? For instance, when I'm looking here for the conference locations, well, I got some results. You could use these social networks to promote your business, but not like a spam way. Hey, this is my location, or this is my type of proposition that I could make for your event or whatever. No, listening in and instantly react when people do have questions. And that's tough, but you can also automize it partially, so it could be interesting. We're looking for event locations or whatever. Well, what do you think about this one? Lance Armstrong, cycling. He says, hey, get out of your car, let's go cycling tomorrow morning, Griffith Park. And at that moment he had 1.9 million followers. So what do you think will happen? Well, lucky for him, they didn't live all in the area of Los Angeles. But the next morning, it was crowded. Police and a lot of stuff, and it was fun. Like a flash mob, where everyone is appearing in a certain place on a request. But this is happening also. This is all input for your events and meetings. I'll translate it for you later on. This is a device, as you see, a prototype. And when there's no water or not enough water for the plant sends out sort of a signal by the sensors. It's here in electronics, and wireless brings it to your cell phone or whatever. This is used for the plants. But you can use it for other purposes as well, like controlling the building here, for instance, or controlling the crowd on your conference or whatsoever. And as you can see, there's a lot of communication on the web as well, as an instance for MPI, that everything which is generated these days will be electronically available, even up to the business electronic business cards and so on. Or there are other websites more based on news providing for meeting and events. And another influence, this is not the weather women or whatever, this is about the stock markets. So all information, well, not all, but most of the information will be represented visual 3D, visual as a hologram, as a cave that you can sort of virtually walk into your spreadsheet, into your numbers. How successful was your last conference? Well, usually you get this feeling in your stomach, you say, oh, something going wrong here. Or, hey, this was great, it was a vibe. And nowadays, people are more and more putting their customers in databases, ERP, CRM systems, just call, and they don't get a feeling with the world what's actually happening. We're going back to representing information more in a visual way. And you can bring it further by actually make it feel to people, by making them wear gloves and things like that, but that's further away. Okay, that's the big picture. Now, for meeting and events, and we're still in this area, what could happen? I'll give you five trends, which I think, but, well, who am I, could be interesting to take notice of. Do-it-yourself meetings and events. How interactive or how involved can you make people to bring them actually to your event, building the event. Just imagine that you came in here this morning We didn't have tables or bowls or nothing, but it was behind the door, and I first invited you, hey, let's sort of build this room. And as you might know, some events are built like that at this very moment already, making people give them an experience. Push for push, I'll show you. Authentic communication, pure, honest, transparent communication, and that's a tough one for some organizations. In real life, combined with a virtual experience, really integrated with each other, not as a sort of separate world, separate brands or whatever, and crowdsourcing during meeting and events. We're going to walk through. Well, as you might know, like meeting and events, well, like yesterday evening, there was involvement of us as attendees in the social evening. If you wanted, you don't have to, but you could. You could dance, you could play the cards, or whatsoever. Most of them decided just to eat and drink, but that's another level of involvement, of course. And as you can see on the faces here, they love to do it. It's their experience. They did it as a group, and after all, well, they love it. That's besides of the content, what they learned of their reach or what the result was. And as you can see here, there are companies focused on create your own event. It's their event. It's not your event. It's their event. The event of the attendees or your customer or whatever. So make them feel like that as well. Like making them an actor for a day. Some people like it, some people hate it. Or making them actually build their event location. Or, and that's the second trend, give people the idea that you're really preparing a poshy event or meeting. And the interesting thing at this moment is it got to be posh, but also low cost. So here's an example from a couple of weeks ago where I was attending at the Global Pets Forum in Vienna. Well, Vienna is an excellent city for making a poshy event, of course. They had a social evening as well, a bit different than yesterday evening. They invited, well, this combo, and this environment was inspiring as well. And as you can see, and they also, that's where I took these pictures from, they made an impression of the event, the total conference. And not on content level, like speaker A told this and B told that, no. Just images, video, audio, and things like that, just to give the people who were there, or weren't there, but should attend next year, had an impression, had a feeling, could be inspired to be there as well. So that's what you could pick up. And then your authentic communication, pure, open, transparent. As you can see, they're having fun. I'm quite sure this is a real, transparent, open, authentic talk on podium. And maybe you know Joe Pyne. You got to figure that out back home because it's too difficult to completely explain. But the idea is your product, your service real? Unlike, you're selling shoes or whatsoever. How are these, is it fair trade and whatever? And then is your story, your marketing, etc., is it real as well? Or should it be fake? Like the Disney World is sort of fake. Does the story, the marketing fit to what the product and the service is? So transparent is not always putting it all open. It should fit. From real, real to fake, fake, and of course fake, real, and real, fake. As you can understand, this is really for you something to study on for, at least a weekend, I think. This is Linda Neiman from Canada, and she's someone who understands the combination of delivering content and combining it with a creative process, as what Anne just told here about the room, for instance. Keep her in mind, and she's doing interesting things for instance, the army, to get them ready, to bring them in another mindset. The fourth trend for meeting and events, as I think, is the combination of in real life and a virtual experience. Well, this is a phone store by AT&T. And this is their store on the web. Well, you love it or you hate it, but there are a lot of functionalities you can wander around and whatever. And compare this with, Amazon.com, for instance. It's more Amazon.com at this moment is more like a database. It's effective, it's functional, it's good for this moment. But is there a lot of experience? The experience on Amazon is limited to what others say about the products or the books that are sold, for instance, or the upselling or cross-selling and things like that. This is more for the future. And this is just in a three-dimensional or in fact, a two-dimensional way. And you will see that it becomes three-dimensional, even more experience, and make people sell. And the stores in the street will be, well, sort of concept stores. And the real sales goes over the Internet. Translating it to the meetings and event area, well, we know this. Sometimes it does work, sometimes it doesn't. It does work when there are cameras above all attendees, for instance, that you really look someone in the eyes and communicate and can use your body language. When there's just one camera, you can't see how it works. When people are having chit-chats, for instance, in the meantime someone else is talking. Well, an extreme form is something like Second Life. There are more worlds, of course. And as a couple of years ago, a lot of organizations tried to organize virtual conferences. And I say, be careful with that. Because it's completely different than a real conference. And your audience should be ready for it to be successful. Now you can make a smart setup or do something like this. But what is happening here, I hope you recognize it as a new futurist to be, the old conference meeting experience is one-on-one copy to the virtual world. And I think that's wrong. Because in the virtual world, there are other possibilities, other functionalities, other experiences. Don't just copy it. That doesn't work. Look for new ways, like direct communication. Mirror, same story. By the way, next week, this is the commercial break. There's a webinar by MPI, and I'll talk about Upside Down, where we bring the events to the people, not the people to the events. And I'm not saying you have to do that in all cases, but sometimes it could be handy. For instance, when preparing a conference like this one, as you might know, last week there was a pre-webinar for who wanted to attend, so you can extend the experience on a meeting or event. Or simply replace it. And that's a simple form. What do you think about this one? Integrating real life and virtual. That's what we're talking about. This guy's cycling. Doesn't have internet connection. And with his friends, he's climbing the mountains or whatever. They all bought the same software and they got an online connection. And he's cycling and training. And he can see actually what's happening. As you can see here, when he's lifting from his bike, the image there instantly reacts. So maybe this could be a complete different way of experiencing, because during your meeting and events, you always have a sort of, well, social event or whatever, making people experience more. Well, a webinar could be done like this. Well, not with the cycling, I would suggest, but maybe in a complete different form. The last one for me, why is an event or a meeting set up usually? To exchange content, knowledge, to listen in, to gather information. And the extreme form is a sort of crowdsourcing, for instance. Like really listening to your clients or your employees or whatever. That should be the goal. And as an example, what we're going to do later on is use something like a big brainstorm. And you could do it in the real world or in virtual with devices and so on. And as you see here, people using Twitter during conferences, what are they doing? Well, sharing resources, communicating with each other, the back channel, well, like just talking in the room while there is a presentation or whatever going on, and some other things. You can study that back home. And then there are some new technologies to be or not to be integrated in your events and meetings. Well, something like this, presented just a couple of years ago, multi-touch sensing techniques. By giving people a table, for instance, discussing, playing with all kind of things. And nowadays, we already know it has been brought back to this tablet, for instance, the iPad by Apple, for instance. But other developments could also be event radio or event TV. At this moment, it's used for car races and stuff like that. It's easy. It's a wide area where the people are. And they get this ear, and they hear the results and what's going on, and reporters and so on. But you could use it here in a conference setting like this as well, if you would like to. Or use things like this. little wireless speakers. You could put them on the tables. You could even choose different channels if you want to, and they're spreading a sort of local audio. Could be music, could be a preparation or announcement for the next workshop or whatsoever. It's interesting to put it upstairs, for instance, at the reception part in the cafe, like, hey, within 5 minutes we're about to start, and you can choose from this and that and so on. And as you can see here, this is an example in Dutch, sorry, by registering by video, audio, or whatever form, the event, to extend, to really use the content which comes free, as we're doing today here with recording all the audio. And of course, you know YouTube. This is Ustream. Ustream is live audio streaming. And actually, you could switch on your phone these days, and I could record what's happening here, and with a delay of a couple of seconds, it's all being seen worldwide on the web, what we're doing here. And this could change the behavior of people, because it is, well, sort of live. It's not only used in conferences, for instance, but when an accident happens, people can start filming at this moment, and everyone is looking and responding to it, coming to the spot, for instance. It's positive, and it could also be used in a negative way. But these are developments which could change and which could be useful in events as well. Maybe you remember the launch of this iPad by Apple. It was not allowed to be covered by video stream. But in the room, there were 400 journalists. And, of course, most of them are wearing their phone and they're, well, sort of recording in a live streaming way what was happening there. And it was a radio station. I call it a radio station, but actually it was a TV station on Ustream, and they were covering this event. And you saw within a couple of seconds that the number of viewers grew up to 150,000 people worldwide, just within a couple of seconds, when there was something happening. And they were all connecting with Twitter and Facebook, and that was a sort of TV channel. They should have added some commercials to it, maybe, but they didn't. So, telepresence, for instance, in a very simple way. All techniques, like this pillow. This is a pillow with a sort of telephone receiver in it. Maybe you can spread it in the hotels of your attendees, and you can send out a text message and say, hey, well, a text message generating this heart, but you can also generate other messages, of course, to them. Or looking for deals with the beverage providers. Like this one, you've seen this one, liquid smoking. It sort of put the experience of smoking into a can. Not the taste of a cigarette, of course, but the experience. And like, I'm not smoking myself, but it seems to be that you're sort of high with it and so on, and give you sort of relaxing drink. No warning needed. Or you could extend your conference with things like this. I don't like it, but as a trend watcher, you just see it, you observe it. This is mail food, and this is actually, when you order it, you get it in your mailbox, sort of frozen, and you have to, warm it up. It's not the best food, I'm afraid, but you could send it out as a, for instance, reminder of a webinar. Or, today we deliver you this, but next week you'll be at the conference and we got the perfect food for you, whatever. So think broad, be innovative, and for instance, think what you could do with your devices like these. And I'm not saying you got to use the devices, but think whether they're interesting for you or not. This is called LAYR. A LAYR is a technology which is used on telephones and cell phones in combination with the camera, and it makes your camera a sort of radar. So I could wander around here and see who of you is using Twitter. And I could click on it and get your information or send you a message. Or, I could just walk to you because I see. So here you feel, I hope, the function of the SpotMe device, which is going together. But this is an open system. It's even worse. Here is what you can see. Above in the air, there's an airplane going. Hey, what airplane is it? Where does it come from? Who built it? How high is it flying? Whatever. Is it useful for you? Don't think so at this moment. But you can combine it with other situations, finding people or whatsoever. And they don't have to be in the same building or whatsoever. So think on a functional level, not on the device level, not on the spot me or whatever. What could you do with it as a function? Okay, we're almost up to you. We got to think in chances. So if there's a heavy snow, open up your front door. There's an extra freezer for you, for your beer or whatever. And that's what I expect from you from now on. I gave you 5 trends. I'm sure we got more. And what we're going to do is quite simple. We're going to make 2 steps. First, what kind of tiny developments or maybe huge trends or influences do you aware that might affect the meeting and events that you're organizing? Could be on your personal level, organizational level, or what you hear today or yesterday. Yes? Some technological or demographic or whatsoever. Don't be afraid that it is not important enough or not close enough to meeting events. Just write it all down. And my experience with other groups is we're going to split up in 4 groups. That within 10 minutes you could together write down 2 sheets with keywords. Just some keywords. And I'd like to invite the one who's writing to stay there as well, and we'll make a round with the microphone. And going to compare what's written down there, 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 there. And hopefully, else we do have a problem, there will be a sort of, well, top 5 or top 3 or whatever, top 4 trends coming up. For sustainability or whatsoever. I'm not going to influence you too much, but think for yourself what kind of developments, trends, hypes could be relevant for the meeting and events industry. So, I'd like to invite you to split up. It doesn't matter to me where you stand, but as you have seen, we got the reflection zone and the classic zone and the network zone and the moving buddies, moving bones zone. So just go wherever you feel best. It doesn't matter. You do some networking in the meantime, of course. I give you exactly 10 minutes. Maybe I'll give you some extra music by Vera Lynn to inspire you. And after 10 minutes, except the people who are writing, everyone sits down again. And we're going to look and stay together with your group. That's most interesting to see for the results. Okay, may I, you're all professional, so I don't have to split you up, I hope. Just make 4 groups out of yourself. Go to the corner and the people you like most and you can inspire. And just start writing down and think loud. Because that'll inspire the others. Speak to you in 10 minutes. I'll make some pictures. So that's a warning. What are your trends? And it's best when you stand close to the flip over. Gives most action for you to write it all down. Okay. Well. At this moment, I'm always most curious, of course, what you made out of it. So, let me suggest that we'll start at this side. Yeah, thank you. And listen into each other's trends. You can steal trends, use trends for your opportunities that we'll discuss later. At this moment, we're just listening in what you found, and I'll write them down as well.
Is it?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the first
point. Maybe you should introduce yourself for the other ones.
So I'm Barbara. I'm a student at the University of Applied Sciences in Krems, which is in Austria.
Yep.
And there are 2 of my colleagues here, as well as Alex from Sweden and Jana from Finland, sorry. So we came up with 4 trends that we thought are important, which the first one is education, which we thought that, for example, universities
education.
That only came up now, that there are courses for meeting industry that we can do now. So the older generation had to learn for themselves by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the second trend we had was sustainability. Of course, we said that meetings are getting more organized in the regions where the people come from mostly, not overseas anymore, so there are less travel expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are less gifts given out or less printouts. So printouts are rather given on USB sticks or, I don't know, digital in any digital form.
Mm-hmm.
The next trend we had was interactive meetings, for example, our meeting right now. which is active participation, but also virtual meetings to be combined with face-to-face meetings, which is interactive for us.
Yep.
And the last point we came up with was a different meeting design. So, for example, the lounges upstairs, you can't find them at all meetings, or also the games we did today, which really woke us all up in the morning, I think. And also different room setups like this. So there's less classroom setups, but rather, you know.
More inspiring.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We're not going to discuss about them yet. Maybe you can bring the microphone to the next group, the networking group. I don't know how the influence of the networking was in this group, but we'll see who's telling us. Looking to each other. This is the moment to profile yourself, the personal branding moment.
Hi, Erica from the networking group.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of touched on a few bits of the sustainability,
but
the one trend that we kind of thought about was the changing in behaviour, the changing in meetings. People are wanting much shorter meetings. They're wanting more interactive, different room setups, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Time is also an issue with wanting shorter meetings and maybe pre-conference webinars before they actually turn up to the conferences. And which other one?
Sustainability.
Sustainability.
Yeah. Technology, behavior.
More emotional events, more buy-in to actually the content as well is one of the kind of big trends. And value for money.
Yep.
Looking at procurement, but not necessarily the procurement. Increasing the value of the meeting,
mm-hmm.
but decreasing the value of the budget, I think is kind of one of the key things.
Okay, that's about it, I think. Yeah? Okay, thank you. Let's give them an applause, don't you think? For the, thank you. And we're going to the classic zone. Nothing personal for the classic zone, by the way.
But let me.
Who's most classic?
Okay, so. Let me see if I can find out what we spoke. We are very classic, so give us a bit of time. Well, the trend in events, we found out that basically it's perfectionism in the last trends.
Absolutely.
Means that the event, as Frank was saying, has to start before and has to finish after of what was expected. So the event begins, as yesterday one of our speakers said, it starts many weeks before the real physical event.
Yeah.
So you have to find out the ways to work on that and to work out in the future what can interact within the people involved in the event. And Frank was very proud of a paddle tennis tournament he's sponsoring,
mm-hmm.
maybe, signing the contract tonight, where we involve people for a whole year before and after. And it really works. It has to be very simple and cost constrained. So we have seen that the trend is to reduce cost as much as possible, and these every time there is a crisis comes up again.
Yep.
So as we are classic, that means that we have a lot of experience. We have developed better techniques to reduce the event to the maximum and to get the most of it. It has to be measurable, so that means that return on investment is a key priority for all.
Yep.
It was a new thing some years ago, but it's really a must be there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be excellent. Any kind of event has to be excellent. So there are there's no space now for regular or good events. Must be excellent, as time is money, as my colleague said here.
Yep. Well, thank you, and applause for you as well.
Thank you.
For the whole group, of course. Maybe you can give the microphone.
Yep.
Okay, I sort of saw that there were two groups here, or what happened here? Well, let's start with this group. Who? They're pointing to you. They're all pointing to you. I don't know why, but maybe you took the notes? Okay. Go ahead.
As you can tell, we weren't actually very organized. We didn't write anything on our
board,
but we were kind of talking quite a lot, and I think we all took a few notes. But one of the main things that we were talking about and asking each other opinions on was with the amount of social media that's now taking place whether people think this will mean less face-to-face meetings, and whether different generations have different opinions about this. So Generation Y that are more used to kind of connecting on Facebook, does this mean that they only want to connect online rather than face-to-face, or do they still feel a need to do this? We were saying that, like some other groups, a lot of online education is taking place rather than just to save time and money and things like that, especially when companies have got offices all over the world. Things like webinars will come into play a lot more. But whether, again, there'll still be a need for maybe an annual conference where everybody would meet face-to-face. And we also touched a little bit on the growing trend of the virtual meetings, although I was personally saying I don't really know that much about it, but it's something I find quite interesting. Yep. I would want to know more about. Did anyone else have anything to add?
More additions? Just take the microphone. It's for the recording later.
Well, we just agreed on the point you made about the kind of honesty and openness of meetings and getting more kind of user-generated content in meetings and getting feedback rather than kind of preaching any kind of corporate message, actually involving people. So going back to really what everybody said about the interactive meetings, that mm-hmm. was it really.
Okay, thank you. And we'll pass on to the last group. Applause for you all. Sorry, almost forgot.
Hello, my name is Natalie. I'm also from the University of Applied Sciences in Krems, and my group came up with sort of similar trends that everyone came up with. But yeah, green meetings and sustainable meetings, I think that's something that everyone has to pick up now. It's something all big events or every participant of an event sort of expects nowadays. Mm-hmm. Also the IKEA virtual elements, I think that's something everyone has to integrate in every event as well. But definitely don't forget the experience, the emotional experience that you usually can only get with interaction. Mm-hmm. So team building is something that everyone should think about. And especially emotions. I think everyone needs events where emotions are triggered so it actually sticks to your mind, so you remember the event on an emotional basis or level. And yeah, more creative events, so be different. Mm-hmm. I think everyone expects something that is really different so it sticks to your mind as well. So also here the emotions is something that you should consider. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the event's getting a bit shorter, so be careful with that, so you put in more like social events as well to actual event, like a conference or anything. So yes, yep. That's
okay. Trend. Thank you. Yeah, perfect. I'll give the microphone to her. And lucky for us, we just got time to translate these trends. What you've been hearing, all of you, sustainability, interaction, being different as you just described, but also on the other hand, being very cost effective and keep it simple, and that's the combination that's going to work for the years to come. So I'd like to ask you to, sort of come up with opportunities or maybe an innovative idea for your conference, event, meeting, whatever. The best idea is what you keep in mind, I think, for when you're back home. But the second best you can share with all of us, I think. So again, in four groups, I'll give you 10 minutes, and then I'll close down with some conclusions and so on. And I don't expect that you write down two sheets again, but now it's more like the one or two or maybe three brilliant ideas for events and meetings. So I'm very curious what you come up with. And just beat the other groups. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Well, let's see what we found so far in just a couple of minutes, of course. And usually when you run a big brainstorm like this one, it is, maybe a day or even 2 days in some cases. But today we're limited to an hour and a half. I suggest we start at this side and, try to give a sort of elevator pitch or short description of what you found, and listen carefully, because it could be that what they came up with was also mentioned over here, or slightly different maybe, but let's listen in.
Okay, so us again. The first thing we came up with is to a kind of do-it-yourself thing. We just said that we would send an email blast to all our target group people for the preference on the meeting design, so we know what they would like, and then see as a conference organizer how we can, you know, put it into real life and
really
see
on demand yes. content.
Yeah. Okay. And the second thing was that the speakers after the sessions do their feedback directly after the sessions, also for their own feedback. For example, we have the SpotMe or the SwarmWorks thing that we saw in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because from experience, people after the conference, you know, the response rates are really low. So that's why we thought feedback directly after the sessions is okay. a good thing. The third thing we had was interactivity through text message questions, which means that delegates in the sessions can send text messages to the speaker, and he sees them on his board, so he can answer them directly, or after do a Q&A session, and mm-hmm. he has the questions directly.
Okay, so he doesn't have the questions on screen, but just in front of him.
Or on the screen.
Or whatever. Okay.
So other delegates mm-hmm. see what the questions are that yep. came up with. Concerning sustainability, we came up with USB sticks, as said before. For example, scientific, how do you call it? Abstract books are not printed anymore. Give them to the delegates in form of USB sticks that they can use again.
Mm-hmm.
So you save a lot of money. And also use local products, especially for the lunch sessions. And also, for example, a team building session could be the delegates cooking their lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
Use local suppliers. And the last thing, which I don't know whether it works globally, but as a conference organizer, if you're allowed to give out delegate information before the conference, give them to people from the same region so they maybe can organize their transport together, so they can, you know, make a little transport networking thing, so they go together. Maybe it's mm-hmm. cheaper with group tariffs or, yeah.
Yeah, meeting them on forehand or whatever. Oh, that's very good.
What's that?
Thank you. Don't you think? Okay. Well, completely different or a bit alike? Who's going to tell us?
Right, we came up with something that was a little bit different to that. What we would do on our new event would be to form an online community beforehand so that the delegates could network, can exchange contacts, can feed into the organisers as to what the content would be.
Mm-hmm.
Focus more on giving back to the community in which the conference took place. So yep. that would, the online communications would involve some of those community leaders. Doing more CSR through social media. At the event itself, would involve again involving the community within the conference. And follow-up would be education, ongoing education on the themes and topics that came out from the conference, so you don't just leave the conference and then forget all about everything unless you refer to your notes. So an ongoing educational theme and ongoing social activities with the communities involved, so be that online. For example, Fiona cited she went to a conference recently and they planted a tree. That tree is now mm-hmm. on Google Earth, so mm-hmm. you can find out how much it's grown and, you know, what's going on around the tree in the community and all that sort of stuff.
Nice example. Nice example for closing down. Thank you. Very good. Well, we'll go to the classic area, but still innovative, I know.
Okay. We fully agree with all that our colleagues have expressed, so our ideas stick very much to what Fiona's team and others said. And just to add on top of it, the sustainability of events, which was our main discussion, and we had two main conclusions. One, the cost is very much important for the go-ahead of sustainability in events, with all what everybody knows, to get greener involves an investment. And second, that this will not happen until there is a concrete legislation from the government that force hotels, suppliers and clients to be really committed to sustainability in the future. Whatever we can express or invent or create to make it sustainable will not work if it's forbidden to not behave that way. Like happens now with smoking. They forbid smoking. That means that they will save a lot of money in insurance in the future for countries like Spain, where social security has to spend so much money. So if the countries force to forbid events that are not sustainable for the region, the local area, whatever, and because it will save a lot of money or will develop that area, if there is no legislation, nothing that we could invent will help.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Yeah. Also, we came up with the social part, because in corporate social responsibility, we very often talk about the green, being green and sustainable, but it's also to involve the attendees in a social event or being committed to through a team building or whatever to you know, do something useful for the local community and do a caritative kind of a social event, mm-hmm. and bring not only you know, sustainable aspects but also social ones. So that's also the issue regarding the green. Being green, it's true that we're talking about the crisis, and it's not, doesn't look to be the first guys, and not for two different venues. Very often, the cost effective one would be the one chosen. But I think it's also a question of generation. Mm-hmm. In maybe, you know, 10-15 years, the new generation will be much more, convinced that this is a key issue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. More from the classic table? Yeah, applause anyways. Okay, split groups, I think. So we'll start here. It's nothing personal, I hope. Huh? Okay, here you go. Yeah, go on. You're used to speak, so come on.
Okay, well, we talked around a couple ideas. One was that events in virtual worlds, and such as Second Life, where in fact emotions are conveyed, whereas currently, you know, with Facebook and these other social media platforms, we can interact with content, but we can't show emotions except for the happy face, those little emotives that you can send. That's only kind of indication of any kind of emotion that's being messaged. Mm-hmm. However, in virtual worlds, and maybe you're familiar with, you know, World of Warcraft or Disney, Barbie, mm-hmm. they all have virtual worlds. So Gen X and Gen Y, they're very used to interacting in virtual worlds. But, and, you know, also Second Life, you can interact and show emotions. So that might be, mm-hmm. in a way, of the future. And what was the other one?
Another one? Help her. You. Give the microphone for the for the audience online.
I suppose we just carried on the debate as to whether the events are going to be more going towards the kind of Second Life, virtual, those kind of more complex technology, or whether they're going to just go in the other direction and actually be more simple. We were, mm-hmm. we were talking about
simple,
this very, very simple event, where, you know, face-to-face, fun, involving events that are just very human and not involving. Mm-hmm. But we didn't actually come to any conclusion as to what.
But the direction. Yeah, there's a vague direction.
Yeah, there's more of a debate.
Yeah, this is more on the level of opportunities and not on innovation yet, but that'll come.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you all. And then we'll go to the last group, and I'm going to close down, and we're going over to the lunch, of course.
Our new idea wasn't really new after this morning's session, but we found it really interesting. The game that we played this morning in the general session, that was something that we found was really an innovative idea in the IT area, but also the whole audience just got involved on an emotional level, because everyone just really got into the game, got competitive, so everyone's emotions got triggered. Mm-hmm. So that's something really innovative and something that
should be integrated in meetings to actually get everyone involved. And when the emotions get triggered, you just remember it. So that, I guess, everyone still could remember the game. So, that is a great opportunity, I think, for future meetings.
I think so. And with all, especially, you saw the serious purpose and the gaming purpose, and there might be other, well, more emotional purposes as well of this tool. Okay, well, thank you all for your interaction. I think, at least it was inspiring for me, so it worked the other way around as well. As it should work, we looked at the trends, the opportunities, and a bit on the innovations, the deliverables. And the next step is up to you. Back home, I suggest, what are your real objectives? Maybe you're going to use some ideas, or maybe you're going to use the total model to generate new trends, opportunities, innovations with your own colleagues, for instance. And don't forget that it's not just about the industry itself, but with all the influences from the outer world. Therefore, I started with the big picture, and we sort of focused down on our own industry. So I hope from now on, I got new colleagues, new futurists, futurologists, as the English do say, or trend watchers. Keep in mind how it does work. Just put it on a higher level, what you observe, give it a vague name and translate it to your situation, and keep in the back of your mind, it's all about changing behavior. Trends that will force changing behavior might be relevant for your employees or your clients or whatever. I also gave you five trends, and you came up with a lot more other new trends. So I hope you're going to use them or at least compare them to your mission statement, for instance, or your ongoing business. And, well, this is where our roads are separating, of course. I hope you take, not the wrong way, but at least the scenic route or whatever route you prefer in the future. And let me leave you with this. When everything changes like this, you are observing that as a new futurologist on the web, combinations from different industries. Like in a traffic jam, well, you could shave yourself as a matter as well, maybe. Or maybe this vacuum cleaner would be ideal. Or just reinvent the products and services that you already do have. Like Prozac, the medicine, is sort of a washing machine for the mind. The core is, for the years to come, that the most successful innovations and breakthroughs will come where industries cooperate. So don't just work within the meeting and events industry, but make combinations with at least suppliers and, of course, the companies you do work for, but preferably with totally different, the healthcare, the building constructors or whatever, and come with new services, new concepts for events and meetings. Like this combination, the Segway, combined with Polo, is the Segway Polo, which is used in California, for instance. Don't change everything, because, well, your audience wants recognition, but it's got to be refreshing as well. So stay to the values that they know, and, well, just give it a new design, for instance, if you talk about conference. One last warning. You know this cup? This is a cup of justice made by Pythagoras. And this cup of justice you can fill up with wine to a certain level, but when you're too greedy, and it reflects to the financial crisis and the economic crisis, when you're too greedy, this will happen. There's a special construction, mechanical construction here. The entire cup will be empty. So that's a warning for your organization, I think. It's not just laws or something, like mentioned over there. It's also just think in a bright way what would be sustainable, what would be social, and so on. And that will give you a healthy industry, I do hope. Well, of course, we can stay in touch, but you can see that on the cards as well. We got some documentation as well. But most important at this moment, just before lunch, is asking you to give some feedback here or when you're upstairs at the lunch. Thank you all. Hope we can stay in contact via the electronic business cards and so on. And wishing you a good conference. And I'm sure we're going to meet again someday. Thank you.